Liverpool, a much changed lineup. It ended, crazy ending to the game, with Ekitike scoring the winner, but he took his shirt off, the referee gave him a second yellow card, and now he will serve a one-game ban and miss Saturday's trip to Crystal Palace. Alexander Isak, though, big moment for him. He played the opening 45, he fired Liverpool in front, a mistake by the goalkeeper McCarthy. His clearance straight to Chiesa. Chiesa rolled it back to Isak. Really good finish by the number nine. Ekitike came on in the second half. Just before Isak had scored, Southampton missed an absolute sitter when Armstrong hit the bar and Cienza headed wide of an open goal. And then up the other end, Isak scored. Second half, we just couldn't get that second goal. Shea Charles equalised after a mistake by Endo. But Chiesa sets up Ekitike for the winner. He was then sent off. Leone going off with what looked like a bad injury on debut. Liverpool 2, Southampton 1.
Our match commentator Steve Hunter there, summing up events at Anfield, where Liverpool progressed to the fourth round of the Carabao Cup with a 2-1 victory over Championship side Southampton. I'm Mark Benstead and you're listening to The Reaction. Coming up in this podcast, we'll hear from the Reds boss Arne Slot, as well as goal scorer Alexander Isak and man of the match Fede Chiesa. First though, the thoughts of former Reds David Thompson and Jay Spearing, who joined me pitchside for our post-match show here at Anfield. Jay, well, let's just dig into what we've seen tonight. First things first, the result is the right result. We are through to the next round. That's the most important thing. How do you think Arne and his staff will reflect on the performance overall tonight?
I think they'll be happy with moments. I think that's probably the main word for me, would be moments. I think there was good bits. I felt Southampton, after, you know, we could have gone ahead after probably 30 seconds. But, you know, Isak with his chance, keepers made a fantastic save. Southampton then grew into the game, and probably if you looked over the long periods of the first half, I felt they were decent on the ball. I thought we had moments to really get in behind, and we didn't really challenge them too much in the final third. And then second half, the game slowed right down. They managed to get themselves into it, back into the game to make it 1-1, and that kind of then woke us up again. And then obviously once they equalised, I think that we had full control of the game to then score the second, and then, you know, we've spoke about it already. Steve's obviously mentioned it about Ekitike making a mistake with obviously taking his shirt off. But overall, I think the manager, well, the main things is that we're through. Obviously, the disappointment, hopefully, that the injury to Leone isn't too much, and I think that what he'll be concentrating on more than anything else.
I guess when we look at it, David, we look at what Southampton did and the way they set up. They had a lot of bodies back. There wasn't a lot of space for our forward players to find areas to get into, and that caused us problems. But I guess on the Liverpool side of things, the movement can be better, the positioning can be better, the pace can maybe a little bit more.
Absolutely, you took all the points I was going to mention there. So
let's wrap it up.
Yeah, all done, yes.
No, I think you're absolutely spot on. I think they did control the space. They got back into a good solid base, you know, 4-4-1-1, and they made it really difficult for us. But I thought we struggled with our own pace, really. I think when you win the ball back and you're playing against a team like that, the first pass is your most important pass. It's got to break the lines and you've got to be able to get hold on it. And in the first half, Isak gave the ball away a few times when it went out to Frimpong, he gave the ball away, and it just puts you on the back foot. And they were happy to control them spaces then, and they were happy to, you know, to dig in and then sort of outnumber us a little bit when they did get the ball over on the right hand side.
When we speak about breaking the lines like that, how much is the onus on the person on the ball to be positive in a forward pass, and how much is it on the teammates around him to find a position to allow him to do that?
Well, I think you've got to be ready. I mean, but one thing that they work on is their rest defence. So obviously when they've got the ball, you know, when players are drifting off, opposition players are drifting off into a space, they'll follow into that space. So that's for when they can win the ball back and step in. Well, you know, we're the top team, we've got top players here, they've got to be clever, they've got to be smart and be ready. When we do win that ball and when we do penetrate the lines, that's got to stick. The first pass and the first vertical pass is the most important. Once that sticks, their fullbacks have to tuck in, the other fullbacks have to tuck in, and they start to panic then. And you've sort of created that little bit of chaos, and then you can start to put your foot on the ball and move it round and get your 2v1s and your overloads. And I thought today we really struggled. when Rio got the ball, Rio didn't struggle. He had his, the beating of the man, but Robbo gave him too much confidence and too much trust in them 1v1 situations. I felt like he could have helped him out a few times, got on the overlap, and maybe allowed the fullback to drop off, and then Rio could have put that cross into the box to Isak, could have put it into Chiesa at the back post. But overall, I thought it was an adequate performance, but obviously, you know, there's a couple of negatives there. Like Atike's not fit, you know, he's suspended for the weekend, and we don't know about Leone. It did look a bad one. I thought it was a bang on the head, but as it turns out, he went out on it with a leg brace on, so let's hope he's okay.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get an update on that through the course of the show. We'll talk more about the Hugo Ekitike situation, the incident, a little bit later on, but just in terms of the difficulties we had in getting through Southampton, particularly in that first half, we were sort of watching it, Jamie, and there was a lot of times when the players were sort of on the same line, there was no one sort of giving that option. Is part of that down to guys not being used to playing as a group together? Because that was a wholly different 11 that lined up on Saturday and has generally been involved through the start of this season. Is that part of it?
Yeah, I think there's probably a few things I agree with Tomo in the fact that, you know, you've got to play that pass forward first. But I'd also, to his point, I'd say, well, who's breaking the back line? You know, who's stretching the back line to then create that space in the pocket for people to find the pocket? If everybody's coming towards the ball, all their defenders are going to do, they're just going to follow all the way down, and then them gaps between the lines get smaller and smaller. So then there's no space for anybody to find. So then you have to go around. And really going around, you know, they're quite comfortable for the ball to go from side to side and around. Once, for me, after probably about 20, 25 minutes, Isak decided then he was going, you know what, instead of coming short, I'm going to start stretching the pitch. And I think two or three times in the first half, he got in by Frimpong, sliding him down the side. Suddenly the gaps opened. Curtis was then able to find the pockets in between the lines. Chiesa was. Rio was then getting more time on the one-on-one duels. And we seemed to suddenly start to like stretch the pitch a bit and find them passes. But again, to your point with the relationships, yeah, people are still, you know, they train with each other every day. But when you go into a game, it's completely different. You've then got to try and build on relationships, going, what's his run going to be? Is he going to come short? Is he going to go long? Is the midfielder going to turn quickly, or is he going to set it and then try and look for something else? So, yeah, the relationships in the 11 that started probably wasn't there, you know, clicking for 100%, but you could see slowly ideas coming in as the game went on. Yeah.
You could see it more in the second half when Ekitike come on, because he was willing to do that running in behind, and obviously Isak was a little bit, you know, he's not had the pre-season, he wasn't at his sharpest, and when he did make them runs, it was a little bit lacklustre. Difference when Ekitike came on, there was pace and there was power going into them lines and in that channel, and it did lengthen the game. That's where Chiesa started getting a lot more space.
I guess we're looking at things to really be happy with. It's that attitude. When we have a setback, we find a way to respond. Southampton get themselves level. Probably a frustration at how the goal comes around from our point of view, Jack. I guess they'll look at that and say, we maybe could have cleared our lines a little bit better. I think Endo maybe misjudges the flight of the ball and it hits him on the back, and that gives them the chance to score. But the way we responded from that, go again, the atmosphere goes again, is something to be applauded, and it's something that's been a real characteristic of this group.
Yeah, and I think that's been fundamental in all the Premier League games as well. You know, we've gone ahead and teams have got back in, but we haven't then suddenly all have gone and retreated and gone, do you know what, we're going to have to defend for the last 20. We've kind of gone, do you know what, no, we'll go and try and get the next winner, we'll try and get the next one and the next one. And that's just something that obviously the manager's built into this squad and he wants them to do on a daily basis. Yeah, the end though, it looks as if Ivory's lost it in the floodlights and it's come off his arm and ricocheted and fell for them. You know, it's one of them things that happens in football. But again, our second goal comes from someone breaking the back line. Chiesa's ran past the back line, a fantastic ball from Robbo, and then the unselfishness and awareness just a slide to Ekitike to finish the game off and get 2-1. But yeah, the attitude of the players, they don't seem to go under. They seem to think, you know what, right, here we go, roll the sleeves up and let's go again and let's go and get the winner.
Let's speak a little bit about Fede Chiesa. Neil and Steve touched on it before they came down pitch side to us. So selfless. He's played in, what, three positions tonight? Wide left, wide right, played as sort of second striker. He's had a hand in both goals, and particularly with that second goal, you could totally understand if he took that on himself, but no, what's better for the team? Roll in front of my mate, easy finish for Ekitike. A brilliant attitude and a brilliant thing to have within a group, a guy who's going to be as selfless as that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was really pleased for him tonight because he needs a goal more than anybody. You know, he easily could have, you know, took that shot on himself and he probably would have tucked it away. But the fact that his teammate's there and he's got a little tap in 5 yards square, I thought that was, you know, a really beautiful moment. But for Chiesa now, he's got a great attitude. He easily could have, you know, left the corner. Who was that? He easily could have left the club in the summer, and yeah, but he's stuck it out and he's determined to stay here. You know, the fans love him. He's a crowd favourite. And you know, I was saying to Jay at half time or up in the stand there, Chiesa 5 years ago was one of my favourite players in world football. I loved watching him. The energy levels of him, the quality. His, you know, he'd take shots with either foot. He was a constant thorn in you know, defenders' side. He never gave them a minute. He can play all across, you know, the front three. He's not prolific, you know, but he chips in with a good amount of goals and a good amount of assists. And, you know, he plays that second striker really well. So, you know, I was really pleased for him tonight. He had a good few shots on target, a couple of assists. So he can be really pleased with his night's work.
I think for me, he's one of them where, like, you know, they call him like the super sub. I think if you look back over the time that he's been here, every time he's come on, he's affected the game. We call it like a finisher. You know, we call it like in the academy, so are you a starter or are you a finisher? You know, we're trying to get into the lads' heads that, you know, if you come on and you're a finisher, you have to come on and impact the game, and you have to be someone that's going to, you know, either create something or you're going to keep us to win the game of football as a defender or as an attacker. You're going to either create a chance or you're going to score a goal or get an assist. And for me, every single time he's put a Liverpool shirt on, he's come out with credit because he's either, you know, affected the game and created a chance, or he scored a goal himself. Bournemouth, a prime example was Bournemouth here. And then when he's got his chance tonight to go and show attitude, it could have been like, oh, you know, my only game is going to be the Carling Cup. I've been left out the Champions League squad. You know, he can sulk if he wanted to. But I felt for him, I felt the game as a 90-minute overall game. I felt he was probably one of Liverpool's big positives out of it.
And he might get an opportunity to get more minutes now because of what Hugo Ekitike's done in celebrating the goal that he set him up for. Neil and Steve discussed it. We should discuss it. Tommy, you've been a professional player. You've scored goals in big games, in big stadiums, with big crowds. Talk us through what goes through a player's head. Because us watching on the sidelines, it's hard to explain scoring a goal and whipping your shirt off, especially when you're already in a book, and we can't compute that. Yeah. Explain it to us.
Well, I can't compute it, to be honest with you. I just think, well, I'm going to be honest. In his defence, what he got frustrated with for the first booking was not a foul. I think the lad was trying to make that run for about 5-6 seconds beforehand. The lad was tugging his shirt and it was a little bit of a tussle. He was trying to get across it. So I can see where the frustration has come. The referees give the free kick the other way. So it was a bit petulant, him throwing the ball. So, yeah, that was a bit silly. But, you know, he scored that goal. He's come on. He's happy. But in that moment, his head's gone. His head's completely gone. Unless he feels like, you know what, I'll just take this red card. I'm not bothered about playing in the next round. But unfortunately, it does carry over into the Premier League. And he's cost his team there big time. And, you know, we were down to 10 men. We're still 6 minutes to go on the clock. So it is a little bit silly. A little bit petulant and a little bit silly.
Yeah, he's a young man. It's all part of the learning process. You just guess you have to say, Jay, look, take him aside and say, what are you doing? You can't do that again. And just make sure it does not be repeated. You're allowed one, I guess, but don't do it twice. Don't do it a third time.
Yeah, listen, I can't speak for the manager, but I'd guess that he wouldn't be too pleased with him because, you know, he's come in and he's done incredibly well. You know, he scored the most pretty much nearly every game he started. The momentum that he's in, why would you want to, you know, why would you want to knock that momentum that you're in, the form that you're in? You're growing every game, you're getting better and better. You're scoring goals, you're in this form where you can keep on going. You know, Isak now is right on his shoulder, ready to come and take his place. And, you know, he's half made a little bit of an easy decision for the manager come the weekend now. Well, you're suspended, Isak's in. And then if Isak goes and scores, then, you know, it's now Hugo's going to look at it and go, oh, that moment, I've kind of like knocked myself backwards rather than kept me momentum going forward and giving the manager an issue. So now he's made an easy decision for the manager the weekend, and he's got a lot of work to do to get, you know, get it back on the manager's good books, I'm assuming.
He may have just been caught up in the moment. You know, it's a winning goal at Anfield. You know, it may have been against Championship opposition, but still, you know, this is a beautiful occasion.
He scored at the cop end.
When he scored at the
win, he's young as well.
You want players to feel it. You want players to have it mean something.
Yeah, it looked like he completely forgot about his face.
You don't want players who are robots to have it. I don't care what money involved.
No,
you want guys to buy in. So on the one hand, you don't want to take that emotion out of players. You just need to have that awareness,
I guess. Yeah, no, listen, no one's like proper angry with him because he's done it. He scored. It's just one of them. Like, it's a frustration one for me. Because I just think the form that he's in, he's scoring goals for us. You know, he's working so hard. He's a danger. He's a danger in the box. Even if he comes on for Isak, he's a danger. You know, he can be a finisher. Mm-hmm. It's just that frustration of like, oh, that's a silly one. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like knocked him back, and it could like stop his momentum going forward. I hope it doesn't.
He'll be frustrated in there now.
Yeah, of course.
The gaffer, not 100%, would have given him a ticking off for that. I mean, he gave Kirk as a ticking off for doing that silly dive the weekend. So, you know, 100% the gaffer's had a go at him.
I guess the good thing is, it's not a situation where he's our only four. There are other players who can play. It just reduces our options for the weekend. And what is it, a difficult game at Crystal Palace, who have been in a rich vein of form. Of course, then we know only too well from Wembley how dangerous they can be. We've had a good workout today. We should give credit to Southampton for what they did. Look at the match. That kind of underlines the point. Liverpool didn't have it all their own way. Southampton very much in this game. XG underlines the quality of the chances they had. And I know Neil and Steve talked about it a little bit. But the double chance they had before we took the lead with Cienza and the Adam Armstrong, they will look back at that, Tom, and say, look, huge opportunities.
Oh, it was a beautiful opportunity for them. But one thing I will say is I thought Mohamed, what's his name?
Georgie,
yeah. I thought he did absolutely superb coming out and making himself big. So even though he fell for the dink a little bit, he made himself huge. Lad had to put a bit more on it. But and I don't think it was that bad of a miss from
you can see
follow-up.
What he was trying, couldn't you?
Joe Gomez actually got across and covered the central goal. So he had to knock it to one side. He was trying to be a little bit clever, and the execution just let him down a little bit. So I don't think the miss was that bad. But then obviously the crowd started getting frustrated, the noise levels rose, and we went down the other end, and you know, obviously it was good pressing from Chiesa, and very unselfish again, he squared it across, and Isak got his first goal, and you know, hopefully that's going to be the first of many.
Yeah, fingers crossed it can be. A first goal for Alexander Isak. What did he make of scoring here at Anfield in a red shirt for a change? Let's find out. The big man is with Peter McDowell.
Well, Alex, congratulations tonight, first and foremost, through to the next round in the Cup.
Thank you. Yeah, great feeling, you know. All of these games are so important, so happy that we are through to the next round.
How are you feeling as well at the moment? You obviously get the goal, which, you know, it's a huge thing for any striker at a new club, but physically feeling a lot brighter now and a lot readier?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously happy with the goal and it being here at home as well. Other than that, I think it was good to get more minutes, you know, work on my game fitness and sharpness. I think all of the minutes I get is helpful.
What do you remember about the goal? It's another one created by Federico Chiesa. He gets two assists tonight. What do you remember about the ball coming in, and what were you concentrating on to get the finish?
I think all of the work was really done by Fede. You know, high pressure regain and you know, from that moment I just was trying to be in the right place, which I was, and you know, I just tucked it away.
You're expecting to play half the game tonight. We saw you trying to get up to top speed at the end before you could go in and get a shower, but it's all progression, isn't it? A goal and more minutes in the tank for you.
Yeah. Obviously, my situation was a bit special, so I had to do some extra work, which is completely normal, you know. And you know, I'm happy to do any work that, you know, get me in better shape. It was good.
And to be here at Liverpool and to be part of this, not every performance is going to be perfect, but it's a team that find ways to win, and you're part of that now.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of been frustrating seeing it from the other side, but you know, it's amazing to be a part of it. And obviously we want to work on our performances and, you know, play better throughout the parts of the game. But ultimately, it's all about winning. So that's the main goal. And then, you know, we can always work on details in the game.
I'm ready to be called on again at the weekend if needed from the start now.
Yeah, I'm I'm just, you know, working hard to be in my best shape. And, you know, and then it's up to the coach.
And just finally, this is a competition you want to retain. You know, you've had this feeling before to lift that trophy. It's one I'm sure you want again come the business end of the season.
Yeah, for sure. I think especially when you play for a club like Liverpool, you got to compete on all fronts. And I think that's the main goal, you know, to be competitive on all competitions. Going out to every game, wanting to win.
First goal of many, we hope.
Yeah, sure.
Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, fingers crossed it will be. I'm sure it will be. Such ability, but we have to remember, Tomo, that he is playing catch-up fitness-wise. He's missed those vital weeks away with his teammates, learning about them on and off the field. And I think on the outside, sometimes we forget how important a pre-season can be.
Yeah, it is time to be building relationships as well and getting understanding. And obviously, you get the practice in from the pre-season games, but it makes a huge difference. And I think he is behind. And you can see today, You know, Southampton are a really fit side. They've played six games already. They're familiar with and they'll be up to speed. So it was difficult for him at times, but, you know, he's just got to keep putting the minutes in, keep putting the work in, because he's got unbelievable ability. And, you know, when he's fully fit and fully on tune, I think he's unplayable. He's got everything in his locker to be an absolute superstar for this football club.
Yeah, and it's worth reiterating the point. You know, Liverpool now have at their disposal two of the three most prolific strikers in the Premier League over the last couple of seasons. The only one we don't have is Erling Haaland. Teams would kill to have those resources. And it's worth reiterating the point the manager made just after signing him. You know, he's been signed not just for this season, he's been signed for the next, what, 5-6 years or whatever it is. You know, it's a long-term addition to the group. He's going to be a big, big player.
And not just him. I think every signing that we've made this window has been a long-term plan. I don't think they've brought these people in for like a quick fixes, say. I think these are now ready for the foundation to build this football club for, like you say, the contracts these boys have all been given. You obviously don't know too much about them all, but, you know, you're expecting for the next 4 or 5 years for Liverpool to be at it. And he's grown over the years, obviously adding each time. But the business that the club have done, you know, it's been spoken about quite a lot. The club have been run in an incredible way. And, you know, the foundations that they've built over the years and the backing they've given the manager on and off the field has been incredible. So, yeah, listen, it's unbelievable for a club of our stature to be able to have them at our disposal.
And he's got his first goal, even though he's not quite 100% yet. We talk a lot about it being good for strikers to get a goal early. But what about the guys who play behind them? Do you like to see your forwards get up and running early in a season or early when they've joined the club?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the longer it goes without a goal, they start, you know, questioning themselves. They're quite insecure, these strikers, really, you know.
It's all questioning the midfield. Yeah.
I'm not getting any chances. Where's the quality? But, no, it's nice. I mean, he has got to build relationships. He's building relationships today with players he's possibly not going to be playing with on the Saturday. You know, there was a lot of lads in there who, you know, won't be featuring on Saturday, but everybody needed games today. You know, if you go through right through the squad, everybody needed games. And it showed, really. There was a little bit of sloppiness crept in, there was a bit of untidiness, you know, there was a lack of quality at times. But you can see the times when there was concentration, there was real quality there, and it made the difference. You know, that was the difference tonight, you know, the real quality on the pitch, world-class quality.
Yeah, quality told in the end. Liverpool through to the fourth round of the Carabao Cup. Who else is through to tomorrow night's draw? Let's just remind you of what has happened in the competition up until this point. Of course, we mentioned pre-match. It is staggered at this stage of the League Cup now because of the expanded Champions League format. So some games were played last week, already through from those matches. Grimsby Town are through, Brentford are through, Crystal Palace are through, as are Swansea. Tonight, Brighton with the big winners, 6-0. They triumphed at Barnsley. Cardiff beat Burnley, which is a noticeable scalp, beating a Premier League side. They won 2-1. Fulham were 1-0 winners against Cambridge United. Chelsea came from behind to win at Lincoln. Wickham defeated Wigan. Wolves knocked out Everton. They won 2-0 at Molineux. Wrexham threw after a 2-0 victory against Reading. Of course, here it was 2-1 for Liverpool against Southampton. Tomorrow, there are four more matches to be played before the fourth round. It's Huddersfield against Manchester City, Newcastle against Bradford, Spurs, Doncaster, and Port Vale, Arsenal. Yeah, through to the next round, and it is a competition that we take seriously, we use well, and we will have ambitions of going far again in this season, Jay.
Yeah, 100%. You know, at this football club, you're expected to be firing on all fronts, you know, in every competition. Champions League, Premier League, FA Cup and the Carabao Cup. So the club are expected to go far in it. We've been in the final the last two seasons and we're expected to go all the way again. The squad that we have now, we're able to make rotations, we're able to bring different people in from different moments. So throughout the year, depending on, you know, how busy the fixtures are, or, you know, how well we do in the Champions League, can we rest a few leading into the next round? But, you know, hopefully the draw does as well again tomorrow. Hopefully a home draw, and then we can kick on and get going with that one.
And we touched on it pre-match. You know, the way that this competition has been such a springboard and such a window for young players at this football club in the last few seasons. It must be a massive thing for you guys working at the academy when these games come round, because you know, you can say to the boys, look, you might get an opportunity here.
Yeah, listen, for us at the academy, I don't want to disrespect the competition because I think it's a vital competition in the football calendar. But yeah, our academy boys do look at it and think, you know what, what's the draw going to be? Is it going to be a decent draw to maybe where we might get a chance to be on the bench? Is it, you know, an opportunity for the Trays, for the Rios, for the Dandies maybe to get starts? So you know, the draw tonight was a good one. It's a Trey's able to showcase, you know, can he handle a level? Can he play at this level? Yes, he can. He showed clearly tonight that he was good enough to, you know, to get on the ball all the way through. Rio can play at this level. Danzy, who came on, can play at this level. The boys on the bench who were obviously unfortunate not to get on, they can handle this level. So, you know, this is a competition that academy boys do look up to. As staff, we do as well, because then we know that we're losing a few players for any games around it as well. But no, in a serious note, yeah, it's a huge competition where the boys get an opportunity.
I never really understand it, Tom, when people sort of write the League Cup. I never compute to me, because there's only three domestic trophies you can possibly win.
Yeah.
For most teams, you know, well, Premier League team, the Premier League is only going to be won by three, four, five teams at best. This is a huge competition. Go out there, take the opportunity, try and win. I can never understand when people dismiss it.
Yeah, it's a chance to go and win a trophy. I mean, how many opportunities do you get throughout your career? Probably, you know, 13, 14 if you're lucky.
That's a lot,
I know, yeah. That's if you're lucky. But I remember when we used to, being at Blackburn, being at Wigan, when obviously playing in the Premier League, getting up the Premier League is the main priority. So when the League Cup did come around, it was sometimes a bit of an inconvenience. So it was like, you know what, we'll chase the team around a little bit, we'll rest a few players. And it was a frustrating time, actually, because you think you've got a golden opportunity to start progressing.
But do you look back at that now and think, I kind of wish we'd gone harder at some of those matches? And, you know,
well, I think when you look back, I think there's times when I think you should have went and knocked on the manager's door and think, you're actually taking opportunities away from my career, but from being selfish for putting the club's priority first, really. It's and rightly so, but you know, there is limited opportunities to go and win trophies. You've got to take them while you can. You know, it was a dream when we were here in the League Cup, you know, to get opportunities like that. It really was a dream to come and showcase you. You've got your family here and everything. It's going to showcase that you deserve to be at this level. So, yeah, it was a welcome opportunity. But, when I look back on my career, it was quite a frustrating time that the way the League Cup was so dismissed. You look when you get to Wembley, how excited everybody gets. You know, you forget that it's a League Cup. Then it becomes a major trophy. It's only when you get knocked out the early rounds, it's like, it was only the League Cup, wasn't it?
But that's it. You look last season, League Cup, Newcastle obviously defeated us at Wembley. Crystal Palace beat Manchester City to win the FA Cup. You look at the impact on the fan bases. Look at Crystal Palace, what it's meant for them. They followed that up by beating us in the Community Shield. They're into Europe. They started the season well. They've got a group of players who are building something. Then that could be a real springboard
that
for
they
the
can sell.
Club.
Yeah,
that's it. Or not sell.
For me, for me personally, I was quite lucky with the time that we played in the Carling Cup and back in 2012 when we were very fortunate to go and win it. The club, we wasn't quite strong enough to go for the Premier League. So then the League Cup and the FA Cup were our big two scopes to get back into Europe and to rebuild the club and get ourselves back in them spots. So it wasn't classed as like, you know, we're making that many changes. So for me, I was very lucky where we both got to Carling Cup finals and FA Cup finals, and we won one and lost one, but it got us, got that momentum going. And then obviously Brendan came in, and then the momentum went again, and we started to compete for Premier League. So in my stage, it obviously did different to Tomo's. I was quite lucky and fortunate enough to go on and win the competition. So I think from then, I do think that the bigger teams over the years now have slowly started to give it a lot more respect. As you can see, the lineups is more, one class, you know, first team players, but you know, regulars are playing
there's
the Premier League.
Bigger squads available now,
and then obviously the players are playing the Premier League. There's a lot more that are playing in these competitions. Like we showcased tonight, you know, we've got international players coming and playing in this game with one or two young lads to help them and guide them through.
That sponsorship's still paying off. Carling Cup, is it? Work, it's still paying out all these years on. But no, it's, you know, Liverpool 10 times winners, and that shouldn't be forgotten. And fingers crossed, you know, whatever the draw is tomorrow, Tomo, there'll be an opportunity to progress further again when the game comes around next month, and maybe more minutes for some of the guys like Trey, perhaps, or Rio in the match that comes next.
Yeah, absolutely. Opportunities for fitness and to showcase your talent. And you know, you're doing that every day in training anyway. You know, you want the manager's attention in every opportunity, and particularly in you know, in games that matter like today. You know, games matter. Go and win games and put a star in performances, because you know, you just never know what the manager sees in you.
Some countries have taken their league cup competitions, their cup competitions actually, on the road. We've seen it in Italy. It's been played abroad. I think it's happened in Spain. I didn't talk of it in Spain as well. Do you ever see a situation in which a League Cup final or a Community Shield game gets taken on the road?
Not for me. I'm against that. I think there are English, there are
the treasures, aren't
treasures of this foundation, this Premier League of our country. I think they are our league, they're our cup competitions, and they should stay in this country. They shouldn't be moved abroad.
What about if you're a sporting director or a head honcho at a football club in a few years' time, when they say, we'll give you 10 million to come and play it in...
Yeah, from a commercial point of view, then it's different,
isn't it? I can see
the
commercial thing, but the heritage and the history of these competitions, if you start to take it out of the country, I think we're going to lose all of what it means to the football world.
Yeah, you do kind of feel, don't you, that supporters here would really rail against that kind of thing. It's been accepted in certain countries. We've seen the NFL come here, they go to Germany, they go to Ireland. Baseball's been here as well. Say, the Italian Super Cup, Italian Cup has been taken abroad. I think it's the Spanish Super Cup that's been taken abroad as well. It wouldn't go down well, would it, here?
They need to do that. The other countries need to do that because they've not got the viewing figures. The Premier League, and specifically when you've got a game like say last year, Liverpool, Newcastle, or even Liverpool, Chelsea, whoever it is, you know, it's a spectacle and everyone's going to tune in around the world. So you don't need to sell that, you know, to other countries. You don't need to do that. And I think it'd probably be cheaper for our fan base to go to another country to watch it, because it, you know, when we start getting into finals, the rail tickets go up, the hotels go up. You know, it's it'd be cost effective for our lads to go abroad. But no, I don't see it happening. And from a commercial point of view, anything in you know, in the English league does not need to transport itself overseas.
Okay, we'll take a moment to Google which is cheaper: a return to Houston or a return to Riyadh.
Seville.
Let's get some of your reaction to tonight. Let's speak to one of the guys who really stood out this evening. Fede Chiesa now is speaking with Pete.
Well, Fede, well done. Man of the match. Thank you. It looked like you enjoyed yourself out there tonight.
Yeah, I did enjoy playing. You know, I always enjoy playing at Anfield and for Liverpool. But I have to say, it wasn't a great performance by the team. We should have been more concentrated since the start of the game. But at the end, we won, and that's what we want.
Resilience, which is a quality that the team has shown all year.
Yeah, we did show it many times, but I think in this game we had the opportunity to show that we are Liverpool and we should win this game easy. Instead, we complicated ourselves. You know, in the first half, Southampton were good, but because we were poor, I think, as a team. But we have to improve and we have to focus a little bit better. You know, it's hard because I think there were 11 different players playing on the pitch tonight, so it was a bit difficult for that, but the attitude must be better as a team, and now we have to focus on Saturday and we have to focus on getting the 3 points and keeping on the win streak.
Just finding ways to win is sometimes important as well, isn't it? Particularly like you allude to, the players don't have rhythm when they don't play together as much. Yeah, you're finding ways tonight again.
Yeah, definitely. But at the end, we had also a few youngsters in, you know, top level youngsters, because Rio is a fantastic player and also Trey has a bright future ahead. Unfortunately, I'm sorry for Giovanni Leoni for what has happened to him. We don't know yet what will happen to him, but I hope that it is nothing bad, because he has a bright future ahead. He's a fantastic player and a great footballer. He's just 18, but I hope it's nothing bad, but we'll see.
Yeah, because it was such a promising debut. He looked so comfortable in there, didn't he? Like you say, such a young lad.
Yeah, he did. I saw him last year in the Serie A, and he already showed, you know, calmness on the ball and a great defensive mind, you know, Italian defensive mind, as the old defenders back in the days. So hope it's actually nothing.
Two assists for you tonight. Almost scored a spectacular goal as well that you put right in the top corner of the goal. Yeah, played in a couple of different positions as well.
Yeah, he was offside, miles off. But yeah. I enjoyed playing. You know, as I said before, I enjoy playing at Anfield, and whatever the coach puts me on. Like, I mean, whatever he sees me in the position that he wants me to play, I play. I don't have any problem. I can play right, left, middle, 10. 5-6
in goal.
Okay.
And just finally, I mean, this is a competition that Liverpool have such history in. You want to go all the way, like in all the competitions this year, with the strength of the squad that we have.
Yeah, we do. That's why I think in the first half we should have showed more focus and concentration on the game, because we want to win this competition.
Well done tonight, mate.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the.
I think he's fast becoming my favourite player here at the moment. There's so much to like about him. We touched on his attitude a little bit earlier, Tomo, and the way he conducts himself, given occasionally he's probably left disappointed by the minutes he's had. But you just wonder if he can stay fit, take the opportunities when he gets them. A real player there to unlock that maybe we didn't think we would have at one stage, maybe last season or even in the summer.
Yeah, he's definitely winning credits with the manager constantly. You know, he's showing a great attitude. He's willing to play in numerous positions. Every time he comes on, he contributes. I just can't forget the player that he was 5 years ago. Before he got that cruciate injury, it was a bad injury and it took time to come back. I can't forget that player. He used to excite me. He could play right, he could play left. He did play central. Now, I said before, he wasn't prolific. He never was prolific, but he's always going to create opportunities and he's always going to chip in with, you know, a decent amount of goals. He's going to get easy. You know, if he played 40-odd games a season, he'd easy chip in with 10 to 15 goals, and he'd get some assists along the way. But he shows a fantastic attitude and he's such a likeable character. So he's definitely winning credits with the manager. And the fact that he's still here shows that the manager's faith is growing in him as he gets fitter.
And for those young boys, what an example. Do you know what I mean? A guy who's been there, won big trophies, played for big clubs, got a big reputation, and he's willing to knuckle down and wait for his opportunity to bite his tongue if he's annoyed. That is a good lesson for them to learn if they're, you know, in the early stages of their careers.
Yeah, it's a huge lesson. And, you know, we've over the last, probably since he's come into the club, there's been quite a few times that he's trained with us. You know, he's played with us in the International Cup. He's trained on a regular basis. We've had international windows where we've stayed behind and we've done extra training with him. And you know what? He is one truly likable guy. He is funny. He works his socks off. It doesn't matter whether he's training with the first team, with the best 11, you know, the lads who've played tonight, or even with the 21s, or even some 18s that get the chance to come up. His attitude to training, he is go, 24/7.
Does he look sharper this year than he did 100%, last year?
100%. Yeah. You can see there's a smile on his face. He's enjoying his football. He said to us, when he starts shooting with his left foot and it's on fire, that's when he knows he's fit. Now, I know that's a little bit of a bizarre thing, but he said it. We were doing.
He smashed one in the second half as well, but
with his left foot. But he
blocked.
Said once we were doing his finishing and he was shooting, he said, "Do you know what? When I know I'm fit is when my left foot's cooking." And that was literally the sentence he said. And then, and, you know, as he's got bigger, better and better, and obviously like being more fitter and training regularly, he's now started to come back. And I agree with Tom. I would think every time he's come onto this pitch and wore a red shirt, he's made an impact.
Chiesa cooking would not be a bad thing for Liverpool this season if we can get him
firing. He's a good cook, though.
In the kitchen. Well, that's an Italian stereotype. You're throwing him. He must be good at cooking. He must be good. What a guy. No, lot to like about him. I could totally see in 10 years' time, LFC TV in the year 2035. We want some fresh blood here. I'd take him here. I'd give him good value.
Yeah.
It'd be good.
It'd be good banter.
Jay will still be here. He'll still be playing.
Yeah. No one's taking these boots, mate. I'm telling you.
40-year-old overage player in the academy side. What we should maybe talk about and expand upon is something that happened away from Anfield over the course of this week, because it was the Ballon d'Or earlier this week. There's a lot of excitement about it, given obviously success here. We had some players we knew would be in the mix who were there for the ceremony. Mohamed Salah, I guess, was the one that people thought might be in the equation to win the overall prize. Didn't quite happen. Finished in the top five, though, finished fourth. What do you make of Ousmane Dembele as the ultimate winner, first of all, Tomo?
Well,
I'm glad he went to you.
I can understand why they give it to Dembele. He had one of the best seasons any footballer's ever had. You know, he topped it off at the Champions League. They won the league, they won the cup, then they went over to the Club World Cup as well. So he did well over there, he scored goals. So, and he led from the front. He's a really fantastic player. I was disappointed for Mo, because Mo is he's an example of how to be a footballer from, you know, worldwide. You know, if any young kids are out there and, you know, they want to learn how to be a footballer and what it takes to be a footballer, how dedicated you have to be, Mo Salah is that example. And the fact that he had that season last year, 47 goals and assists, you know, he was constantly the man that we went to. And sometimes, well, that is the judging criteria for the Ballon d'Or as well. How important is that player? How many times does he step up in important games? Well, that was Mo Salah. The fact, you know, there's a few things that counted against him. It could have gone either way here when PSG beat us on penalties. We could have gone on and won that. And I think if we did go on and win that Champions League, he would have been he would have got the Ballon d'Or, no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. Because then, you know, then you start judging it on fair play and the type of person that you are. And, you know, Mo Salah lives his life dedicated to football.
Usman Dembele, on him though, I guess we give him credit because at one stage it looked like maybe he wouldn't fulfil his talent. His kind of career was drifting a little bit. And under Luis Enrique at PSG now, he has knuckled down. He has listened to what the manager wants from him. He works harder now. And his efforts have been rewarded.
He was suspended. He got suspended by the club at the start of that season and for the start of the Champions League, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
For being late for meetings and, you know.
But he heeded the warning.
Is that the fair play thing or not? That's not clearly enough fair play, is it?
No, that's not fair play.
So, yeah. So listen, Dembele, listen, for me, quickly, I think he's an exceptional player. I think what he's done at PSG this year and probably for the last two seasons, you know, being left-footed, right-footed, naturally both feet, he's an unbelievable talent. I think he's done incredibly well with PSG. You know, I think PSG have done incredibly well this season. I just, for me personally, you know, people obviously, everyone has their own opinion. I just don't see how they could have looked. Mo could be in fourth place. I just can't see it. I don't know how he's there to have. I think it was 57 goal involvements in a season. I remember the picture just after we won the Premier League with all the trophies in front of him, the Golden Boot, the most assists, the Premier League in front of him, the writers, you know, all these accolades, and for him to finish fourth, listen, I was gutted for him, and I felt that he deserved to be higher. He's just like he was overlooked.
Yeah, he's not short of a few trophies though to console himself, Will. But I guess he will be frustrated. But he can, you know, we've seen previously in his career when he's had disappointment, he's gone again and used it
it's
as a motivator.
It's the levels that he's done. For me, you know, the levels that, you know, Messi's and Ronaldo's were, you know, that they did it for a long, long period of time. Salah's done that for the last, what, five, 6 years, and scored 30 plus assists, you know, with 30, you know, goals
he's
and assists.
He's done it consistently
for 5 years, and he's just not been even mentioned in any of them.
But if he uses that as a motivation to help Liverpool drive towards another Champions League final,
by the way,
I
hope now as a Liverpool fan it wicks him off that much that he goes and does it. goes and does it all over again.
I don't know if he could better last season. I really don't think he could better.
But
last
as a
season.
Team, though. The team, you know, you mentioned if the team go that
the
little bit further
accolade,
in the
yeah.
Champions League, maybe win a cup as well. You know, if that's what maybe starts to colour people's opinion. If he's part of a slightly more successful Liverpool team, which seems crazy to say it since we won the league, but you know what I mean? Because as you mentioned, PSG won multiple trophies last season, including that big one for the first time, and I guess that probably plays a factor.
Yeah, a 1,000,000% it plays the factor, you know, and the fact that there was the romance around Luis Enrique and PSG, the way they went about playing football and dominating games, they were a joy.
Yeah, PSG
they
were credit.
They really were a joy to watch. So you can understand where it's come from. But I think, for some reason, it is easy to overlook Mo Salah, and I'm not
that's
sure
the bit
why.
That's the bit that gets me. Is that he's too easily overlooked. You know, Lamine Yamal had an unbelievable season as well, and he won the Copa Trophy, didn't he?
Yeah.
Vitinha, again, an unbelievable season. But then to have the 57 goals and assists in what, in my opinion, is the hardest league in the world.
Well, he won't do it this season anyway because he's away from African nations, so he's going to miss 6 weeks of the season there. It's going to be really difficult for him. But, you can understand where the disappointment comes from. But when was the last African player that won it? I think it was George Weah, was it 1990?
Probably was, actually.
Sure.
We'll check that. You know. We could be wrong, but it sounds about right.
They've changed the criteria over the years. I think the last time they changed it was 2021, wasn't it? So it was. I don't know what more he's got to do to get it.
Yeah. Be interesting to see what happens this season. What is interesting with it, though, Jay, I think it sounds a bit daft, but we had the situation where it was Messi or Ronaldo, and there was kind of the excitement was taken out of it. What I liked about it this year is it's fresher. You don't kind of know. It's not as nailed on. And we can all make cases for different people. And you look at the players in that. You know, I think Vitinha was sensational last year. Yamal is this amazing young talent who got so many headlines, scored big goals for his club, big goals for his country. We can debate it different ways. Whereas before, it was literally, well, your team Messi, your team Ronaldo, and that was kind of the end of it almost.
Yeah, that's probably the most exciting bit is that, you know, you could probably sit in a room, probably everybody here would have a different opinion on who they think should be number one, two, three, four. You know, we'll all probably have a different order. There might be one or two that are the same, but I totally agree. I think now that, you know, Messi and Ronaldo, they made football to a different level and they will always be two of the best strikers that there ever was. But now, yeah, I do like the way that, you know, it could be a 3-4-5 horse race to decide on who goes and wins it. Yeah, but Dembele, listen, congratulations. I felt that the season he had was unbelievable and, you know, he won the award and there's obviously cases for him to rightly so deserve it as well. So, yeah.
Worthy winner, interesting breakdown. It'll one that people will be debating about, no doubt. And we've had our little tuppence worth there.
I'm Virgil van Dijk.
I'm Alexis McAllister.
I'm Andy Robertson.
Reds, the new Adidas Liverpool FC 25-26 season home and away kits are out now.
You can also shop the new Adidas LFC training range.
Buy them today
at your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store and on the official LFC store app.
You'll never walk alone.
Okay, let's hear from the head coach now. We can join Arne Slot in his post-match press conference.
Hi Arne, just wondering if we could start with Hugo Ekitike, your reaction obviously to the goal, but also with the sending off. You always talked last season about how you have to make sure you don't go down to 10 men, so did it feel needless, did it feel stupid, how did you feel about it?
No, I would prefer to start with something positive, which is not positive, but the tribute we gave Matt Beard was, I think, of Liverpool standards. So how the fans always do this is something what it makes me proud to represent this club, how we always find a way to be so respectful for people that have done so much for our club. So... And then we go immediately, because of your question, to the last minutes of the game, where Hugo got a second yellow card. That is, what were your two words?
Did you think it was needless? Did you think it was...
That was needless, yes, and?
Yeah. Did you think it was a bit stupid?
And it was stupid, yeah.
Yeah,
it was. So I can, in the first one, was already needless. And to a certain extent, stupid, because you have to control your emotions. And I know how hard it is if you play Premier League or every league in the world, if you are number nine, then the defender can almost do everything he wants. And then when you shirt pull a little bit or you push him a little bit, then you get a free kick against you. But it's always the best to control your emotions. And if you cannot control your emotions, do it in a way that it doesn't lead to a yellow card. So I think I said when I got my red card against Everton, that's always stupid, because it is you can show your emotions, but if it leads to a yellow or red card, then it's stupid, and that's what happened in the first yellow. And then I told him as well, and I said it to numerous media already, if you score in a Champions League final in the 87th minute after outplaying three players and hitting it in the top corner, I can maybe understand that you are like, this is all about me, what did I do? But I'm old-fashioned, I'm 47 and old, maybe. And I haven't played on this level, but I did score a few goals. And if I would have scored a goal like this, I would have turned around and walked up to, in this situation, Federico Chiesa and say, this goal is all about you. This is not about me. So yeah. Needless, not smart, you call it stupid. I call it stupid, by the way, as well.
How's the Leone?
Yeah. How's Leone? Of course, he's down. He's down, the way you say it, yeah. Because for him, it didn't feel good immediately, but this is something now we have to... How do you say it? Do research on or assess. And normally these things don't happen in 5 to 10 minutes. You have to wait for tomorrow to see how he comes in, and then maybe do an MRI scan to know more about how serious it is. But normally the emotions of a player tell you a lot. I saw during the weekend a player in the Dutch Eredivisie who went out completely in tears, and he felt himself what was also Ruben van Bommel, by the way, at PSV. And a day later it proved to be that he was right. But let's hope for the best.
Just you mentioned Federico and his involvement in that second goal. Second half tonight, he was everywhere, really driving the team up the pitch. What did you make of his overall performance?
I think what you want to see. So I can accept completely that a team that plays for the first time together, players that haven't played for a long time, that they don't play as a team perfect. But what I always want to see is players that try, that work hard. So I said at halftime, for me, it's completely not a coincidence that Federico picked the ball and assisted on the first, because he was the one, in my opinion, that was most involved in the game, tried the most, worked the hardest. And then it wasn't a coincidence again that he was the man that made a deep run. Great ball by Robbo, by the way, who also has won so much at this club and also understands how to play this game. Not underestimated, just always be ready to play. And that's also the way to get yourself either back in the team or get as much playing minutes as you want. That's why I was happy with a few individual performances, but far from happy from a few other individual performances.
Can you elaborate on who you were talking about?
Nope. But I think these players, who I mean, I think they know already. Yeah, it's nice. Because it's only 6 or 7 days ago when he made his debut. I just asked, was it 2 weeks ago that we played Burnley? He said, no, it's only 1 week ago. So time goes so fast that sometimes you don't know, understand how long it took. But we got him not in the best circumstances in terms of match fitness. So we have to build it up. And the downside to that is that you cannot play a player 90 minutes. And if you only play him 45 or 30, or again like today, 45, it might then normally take a while before he scores his first goal. Because we can all understand, if you play a player 3 times 90, it's a bigger chance that he scores a goal than when you play him 45, 30, 45. And he's the record, British record signing. And there's hardly any one talks about this, so maybe it's smart for me to talk about this. So there will be then pressure on if it takes a while before he scores a goal, because he's the record British signing. No one says this, so I repeat it. So yeah, I think the best moment to start to see where he is and how much he can help us. You can already see that he can help us, but the best when he comes back, hopefully from the Swedish national team, when he stayed fit, played there many minutes, plays for us in the upcoming weeks, a few minutes. Then I think after that, then his pre-season has ended and we can expect even more from him. But till now, I'm very happy with what I've seen from him.
Yeah, the thoughts of Arne Slot on tonight and specifically the contribution of Alexander Isak. Next up for the Reds is a return to Premier League action. They are away against Crystal Palace this weekend, a 3 o'clock Saturday kickoff. The Premier League fixtures get underway Saturday lunchtime, though. Manchester United are away at Brentford. It's Leeds, Bournemouth, Chelsea, Brighton, City, Burnley, as well as our game, as I mentioned, at 3. The early evening game sees Ange Postecoglou's Nottingham Forest host Sunderland before Spurs play Wolves. On Sunday, it's Aston Villa, Fulham. Villa in real dire straits at the moment. They could do with a victory to get themselves up and running. It's Newcastle against Arsenal in the tea time game. Then Monday night football sees Everton play West Ham. Graham Potter also in need of a result, the West Ham manager. Don't need to remind you, Liverpool top of the pile with a 100% record. Crystal Palace, though, where they sit fifth. 9 points on the board for them. They have picked up where they left off last season. I think there's no bones about it, Tomo. Palace are a real challenge, especially at their own ground. This will be one of the more difficult games we've had so far this campaign.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we've not hit top gear yet, so it's going to be a real test. Obviously, Oliver Glasner gets his team really well organised, well drilled. They work hard. They're so fit, extremely fit and good defensively. Yeah, they've lost a couple of players this season, but I think they've bought quite well as well. And they've got some really good players themselves. And, particularly I like Adam Wharton in midfield there.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal talent. Can find the pass that breaks the lines, really good on the ball. One that I think other bigger clubs, to use that term, will be looking at moving forward. What is interesting, they've lost Berieza, who's their star man, yet it hasn't derailed them so far. Is that down to the fact that they've got such a consistent way of playing, a setup the manager likes to use, that taking an individual out, they can kind of get around that to a point?
Yeah, listen, I think I agree with Tom. I think Glasner's done an unbelievable job since he's gone in there. I think the foundations he's built, like you say, that he's made a real clear message of what formation he wants to play, how he wants to play, so that, like you say, if anybody does dip out, the next person coming in knows exactly what that job is. I think, the addition of Mateta and then Saar, having that balance of some maybe a target man with someone running off him, Mitchell down one side, the defence, they just love to defend, the whole team, they're quite happy to...
There's another underrated guy there, Tyrick Mitchell. Every time he plays against Mo Salah, Mo really struggles against him.
Munoz on the other side. Munoz on the other side, I might back up. Phenomenal season last season. His numbers were incredible for his tackles, etc., and his work rate. A really good operator as well, to compliment Mitch on the other side.
Yeah, and he started really well. He's in my fantasy football team. He's flying.
Well,
he's
there you go. That's all you need to know, everyone at home. He's in Tomo's team. But it's interesting just the way they've evolved and how I think that the team, their mentality's changed as well. I think now they go into
games.
Exactly. They did it against City in the Cup final. They did it against us as well. But they believe they can compete with the big side.
Yeah, I felt, again, I don't mean it's nice, because they'd always be that team that, would just sit back and defend and let teams have all the ball. But then they didn't really have anything going forward. And that's what I mean with the addition over the last couple of years of Mateta and Saar. They can sit in a low block, but then you can get the ball up to Mateta. And with him holding it up, Saar running off, and Eze at the time, running off and joining in, they then suddenly became a huge threat with Wharton and Will Hughes in the middle of the park as well. Two workhorses that are going to work all day long for them. They've got a real, real solid foundation.
Good on the ball as well. They're really, really good on the ball. They're underestimated on the ball, actually.
How does Mark Gay approach it? Is it show his this team what he could offer it?
He's so professional, that lad. Yeah. He'll just go out and do what he needs to do. He's got so much quality. He's such a strong defender. But he plays for them, doesn't he?
Incredible situation in which he finds himself. This is a real test of Liverpool's mettle. But as we touched on pre-match, the incredible thing is Liverpool have a cushion if they slip up already at this stage of the season.
Yeah, listen, it's not even probably in the manager's fault. He wants to go there and build on the foundation that we've done. People have been rested tonight and ready for that game on Saturday, knowing how difficult it will be. And they'll be at full throttle, ready to rock and roll. And hopefully we pick up the 3 points and keep this momentum of winning football matches going.
Gentlemen, thank you for your company here tonight. But that's it from the reaction. We'll be back on Saturday following Liverpool's Premier League clash down at Selhurst Park against Crystal Palace. It's a repeat of the Community Shield. Until then, though, if you haven't already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts. That'll make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. Goodbye.